In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I am struck every year in this reading of the importance of friends. Friends who are faithful. Friends who look out for those that they love. Because this miracle is somewhat unique on account of why Christ heals this man, this paralyzed man, and all of the events that lead up to this man being before Christ. And that part that I want to hone in on today is when Christ says, because of their faith, he heals the man who is paralyzed. That first saying, at the very least, of Christ, the first time he addresses the paralytic man, it's on account of not necessarily, at least as the gospel says there, and this is what I want to hone in on, it's on their faith, not necessarily his faith. This miracle that Christ performs is a healing that's in the presence of many witnesses. The home that he is in is so inundated with people that the four friends of the paralytic need to open up the roof and lower him in. These witnesses, though, don't really see the same thing or respond in the same way to this miracle. They all witness and know that there is a miracle that has taken place, a miraculous healing that implies, because of Christ beginning by the forgiveness of sins, that this man, Jesus, whom they are witnessing in this healing, is not just some man, but is himself God. Because only God can forgive sins. So these witnesses, though they witness the same event, they're really separated into two categories: rejectors and believers. Once these two camps of people witnessing the same event have established themselves, Christ has revealed his identity to them, and they have this choice. He shows himself to have the self-same power as God, the Creator, in the next step. Not just forgiving sins, but healing the physical paralysis by a command. Take up your bed and walk. The man is not only healed in his soul, for this was what his first utterance did, but also now in his body, by the action of Jesus, is Jesus shown to be God, Creator and Redeemer. But we must remember that faith is a lot more communal than perhaps we, or at least a strong strain of us as Americans, depending on where we lean, where we were raised, think of faith as my individual faith, me alone, and my relationship with God. But faith is far more communal than that. Far more important are those friends that we have, like the friends of the paralytic and their faith that they had to bring their paralytic friend before the feet of Christ. Faith is substantive. Faith is trust in action. We should think of faith as trust applied with hope. Then when we do this, we become faithful ones. Even when we might have some niggling doubts that crop up, we have each other. We have the community of faith. Our faith is one that is communal and shared. I don't just have my individual faith. Father Simeon believes this or that. Rather, I'm given faith by others, and then it becomes personal. An act of both myself and the community in which I reside in. Others hand it to me, or even better, they show it to me, and I am brought into that very same faith. Then I can take an action along with them in trust in God and our Lord that they are sharing with me. Then it truly can become my own and not just some random thought that I might have or a whim of emotion toward or about God. It becomes something far more substantial, something that can feed the soul and heal the soul. Those who have strong faith in their personal lives pray for others. They labor on their behalf. They share the news of what God has done for them. In other words, they share the news of salvation and they keep the door open. Sometimes great friends, like the ones the paralytic had, do more than just keep a door open. Just pray for them in their own private personal lives. Rather, they fight for them. They fight for what and against what is preventing them from coming to the one that they love, to coming and getting before Christ. These friends of the paralytic or other friends that may come to your mind in this act of communal faith are following the greatest and the second greatest commandment, to love God and to love their neighbor simultaneously. This is what those four friends of the paralyzed man did for him. They fought for his salvation, to bring him before the feet of Christ when he could not do it himself because of his inability. We have friends like this. Friends who bring us to the church, friends who share the news of Christ's salvation with us, and they impart just a little bit of their faith, just a little bit more of that encouragement. But it doesn't just stay on this exterior level. There's an understanding of this miracle that I want to bring forth. These four friends also have a correspondence to what happens interiorly, what happens inside of our very own souls. St. Gregory Palamas, who we commemorate today, offers this kind of understanding of the miracle. He, too, says that faith needs to have action. And when we have faith in action, there's a spiritual understanding that's going on. The man is paralyzed. But we are like him in our own interior life. We have spots where we are laid low on our pallet, where our sins have paralyzed us and we can't move forward in actions of faith and hope. We're laid on our own bed and bound like he was bound physically. We see things only as perhaps what pleasures they might bring or what must happen, and we have no spiritual freedom from the sins that bind us. But we have friends, even within our own soul, and that communal aspect of the church, there's this interior understanding. We have a place in us where there is a roof over preventing us, a crowd preventing us from coming to the feet of Christ on top of our own inability. So these four men that are always available to us, St. Gregory Palamas says, are able to carry the paralyzed, break up that roof, and lower us before the feet of Jesus, even when we cannot heal ourselves or make an action and walk toward him. He says these four friends that are on the interior in the soul are the recognition of that state, the recognition of our sins. It is a holy confession before Christ In other words, an act of repentance, saying, these are the things, and I am stating them, that are my inability to move in this spiritual way. To renounce the habit of that evil sin, to renounce what we have done, and then to pray before God that something different will happen. These four friends are always with us. We can always recognize our sins. We can always confess them, state what is wrong. We can renounce the fact that we don't want these things. And we can pray before God that something different will happen. God has made possible the same thing that happened in Capernaum in that house for us as well. He is able to heal us deep within our souls and our bodies if we seek out these spiritual friends. We can call on them to take us before the feet of Jesus, who is always ready to make us his sons and daughters. We recognize where we have sinned. We confess these before God. We renounce the evil habit. And we pray. And then we just put our trust in God. Our faith is put in the hope of action. By this, we are forgiven. We take up our bodies to the worship of God and to serve him by the might of Jesus Christ. These four friends will see us healed like the paralytic was in that home in Capernaum. So my brothers and sisters, let us take this as a reminder that we are not alone. We have each other. We have these spiritual friends to take up the paralyzed parts of our body and of our soul to bring them before God. And we need these friends, the exterior and the interior. Every time I recognize a paralysis spiritually, I need to seek the help of these friends. These we always have with us if we desire Christ. When we have this kind of communal faith, then healing from the paralysis of sin is available. Our eyes are opened and we come and we gaze and we look up to Christ, who looked down in the same way upon the paralytic man, surrounded by his four friends and a host of witnesses. We'll hear the same words that he spoke to that paralytic. Your sins are forgiven. Then, as we trust that the word from God takes an activity in our lives, we'll hear that second phrase that he spoke to the paralytic amidst so many witnesses and his four friends. And these words will become increasingly true of us, and the spiritual paralysis will begin to fade. And he'll say to us, rise, take up your pallet, and go home. Amen.